You're listening to the HR Bartender Show, a casual place to talk about all things work. Here's where you get practical advice about how to be a better employee, manager, and leader in today's workplace. So grab your favorite beverage, pull up a stool, and join us in the conversation. The bar is always open. Now, here's your host, Charlene Lauby.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for being here. I'm your host, Charlene Lauby, author of the blog HR Bartender. Before we get started today, I want to take a moment to thank our founding sponsor, Ultimate Kronos Group, also known as UKG.
To be a powerfully productive business, you need powerfully happy people. Two leaders in workforce management and HR have joined forces to become UKG, Ultimate Kronos Group. With comprehensive HR solutions, they'll help you create more meaningful connections within your workforce that will make your people smile. UKG, our purpose is people.
Thanks, everyone, for being here. I am really enjoying the opportunity to just chat with you, you and me, as a recap of this season of the HR Bartender Show about change. I started out all of the conversations that we had this season asking everyone to share a change that turned out really well for them. And so I want to share with you one of my own. Some of you might already know this, but over the past couple of years, we moved. You know, while we did our homework before we moved and we moved from South Florida to North Florida. And while we did all of our homework, you can never really know everything. And I have to say that, you know, while we were in the process of moving, we would think of things that we really wanted to do, you know, things that we needed to learn about the new city that we were moving to, things we needed to find out about how you make things happen and get things done. We kept putting some of that off. You know, we knew that we wanted to move here and we liked the city, but you never really know everything. And so we put off some of the exploring part. You know, we said, oh, hey, once we get settled into our new place, we'll explore. We'll have plenty of time to do that. And it was funny. We started moving into our house in late 2019. And just about the time we started moving into our house, you know, we're reading the news like everybody else. And we started hearing about this virus at the same time. So here we are. We no sooner get all of our boxes into our new home and we're in a new city and there's a pandemic. And so on one hand, we were familiar with the state that we were living in, but we still had a lot that we needed to know. And there were some moments where you're like, gosh, you know, it would have been, you know, we knew exactly where to do this in South Florida. We knew exactly how to get this done. And we were in a new place and we had to figure it out. And we did. The good news is we figured it out. And I guess that's what change is really all about, learning how to figure it out. In the first couple of episodes this season, Pat Waters and Steve Brown talked about figuring it out. You know, they talked about organizational change. Every company is changing. You know, some companies over the past couple of years have discovered a new way of doing things, and that's not a bad thing. I think there are companies out there that found a new market for their products and services, or they figured out a new process that maybe saves them time or money. And those are all good things. Those are all really good things for the business. Maybe they are things that the company discovered that they wouldn't have figured out any other way. And I'm not trying to minimize the pandemic, because the pandemic, and we're still dealing with the pandemic, there's been a lot. We want everybody to be okay. We want everybody to be safe. We don't want people to get sick. Those are all the things that we want. But also within that context, people are changing. And for organizations, they might have changed too. And that doesn't necessarily mean that that was a bad change. But it does mean that as the organization is changing, employee roles and responsibilities might be changing as well. They might be redefined. They might shift a little bit. And employees are finding that they're changing too. We hear about the conversations about employees changing their priorities, the things that they want to do, maybe the prioritization of their career. But they're also finding new ways to be productive. They might have discovered over the past few years, hey, I really like doing this project at this time, or if I do this, it makes my work easier. So in addition to figuring out, hey, this is where I like to work, you know, on site or at home, maybe even someplace else. I wrote an article on HR Bartender recently about the emergence of something called third spaces. It's not home, it's not on site in the office, but it's this other place. And maybe employees are finding, you know, I really like doing that. It makes me incredibly productive. I mentioned this a little bit on Steve's episode, but I think that, you know, when we're talking about organizational change, one of the things that we want to do is there are two things. First of all, we need to ask employees, how are you your most productive? Organizations are all about productivity. I've never heard a CEO say, I don't care whether or not we're productive. So we want to find out from employees how they're most productive. And I think that we have to start having this conversation with people on a regular basis. And if you're not, maybe you just need to ask yourself, you know, think about a time when you were your most productive and what did it look like? Where were you working? Who were you working with? What kinds of processes or procedures did you have in place? And then ask yourself, think about a time when you were your least productive. You know, where were you working? What were you doing? What kinds of policies and procedures did you have to follow? And compare those two activities to where you are right now. Are you closer to your most productive or your least productive? And do you need to figure out how to get closer to your most productive self? So I mentioned a little bit in my takeaway on Steve's episode, but as we're talking about change, one of the big things that we have to do is check in with our management team, because we're asking managers to help employees be their most productive. And that means having conversations with them, finding out, having employees tell us as a manager, this is what it takes for me to be my most productive. And managers trying to be in a position where they can offer that, where they can give employees an environment that allows them to be incredibly productive. But in order to do that, we need to make sure that managers understand their role. So often when we create change within the organization, are we going back to our management team and saying, hey, we just want to check in with you, make sure that you're very focused on your role? But I happen to believe that a manager's role, and some people might disagree with me on this one, but I believe a manager's role is to make sure that you are out there trying to hire and train your replacement. Now, I learned this lesson the really hard way. I was a manager for a company that liked to move people around. It was a concept that they called seeing the dirt. And so it was for a hotel company. And when you walk into a building, think about it this way. When you walk into a building for the very first time, you see all of the dirt. You see every mark on the wall. You see every mark on the carpet. You see all of the dirt. And what ends up happening is after you've been there for a really long period in time, you just walk by it and you forget that it's there. So this particular company felt that if you moved around all the time on a regular basis, not like every week, but if you moved around every few years, that you would constantly see the dirt. And that was beneficial. You would always be eyes wide open. You would see what's going on. Well, what ended up happening is I moved for the company to a place that I loved. And now I had a dilemma. I'm like, okay, I live someplace that I really love and I don't want to leave there. My father-in-law gave me this really great piece of advice. He said, live where you want to live and then go find a job there. So I lived where I wanted to live. I had a job that I really liked. And now I needed to figure out how to keep it. So I realized that my role as a manager didn't have to be that I moved all the time. But if I created an environment where other people could become directors of HR, they could move. And some managers will look at that and they'll say, if I do that, then the company can replace me. And it's the exact opposite. If you're a manager that is constantly out there developing people, then you're irreplaceable. Because what happens is when you're out there developing your team and they can run the operation without you, you can go off and do cool stuff. So when the CEO has this super secret project that they are looking for the best of the best on, you can get tapped because your department will not fall apart while you're off working on that project. You can take a vacation. You can go to a class, but you can do all of those things because your department will not fall apart while you're gone. So managers, if they spend their time hiring and training their replacement, they get to go off and do things. Their team is being developed to handle positions of greater responsibility. And this is all change that happens within the organization. I'm taking on a new role. I'm training other people. I'm delegating work. This is something that is constantly happening within the company. But think about what the organization would look like if all of the managers in the organization were focused on hiring and training their replacement. It's a huge change, but it's one that could change the whole complexion of the business. The next conversations that I had were with Kate and Sarah Morgan. My conversation with Kate was a great reminder. Kate Bischoff was a great reminder that even though we have a lot of change going on around us, you know, if the company's changing or our roles are changing, we still have to be in compliance. Compliance isn't a bad thing. You know, frankly, I think we need to stop treating the word compliance like it's a bad thing. Being in compliance sends a message to employees and customers that we are operating safely and securely and that that's a priority for the company. It sends this message that we're doing the right thing and we take that responsibility seriously. And that kind of led into the conversation with Sarah, exactly that, about doing the right thing. You know, one of the big changes that organizations are facing right now, and frankly, individuals are being asked to do the same thing, is to take a stand on social issues, maybe political issues, community issues. And that can be uncomfortable, especially if you haven't done it in the past. You know, maybe in the past, you didn't have to take a stand. And you might be saying to yourself, gosh, you know, I can't wait until, you know, we can go back to those days and, you know, we don't have to talk about this stuff anymore. Well, guess what? I don't think that's going to happen. But I think what we can do is figure out how to take a stand in our own way. And I think that's what change is. It's learning how to figure it out. It's learning how to, whether you are going to a new company, you have a new job, or maybe you have new responsibilities. Maybe it's my job is the same, but I have to deal with this new law, this policy, or this procedure. Or maybe it's being asked to use your influence and say something publicly that you, in the past you've always supported privately. Change is hard. Even changes we want and we look forward to are hard. You know, like my change to North Florida and our new home. It's something that we wanted, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't hard. And as we're looking at change and all of the changes that we have to process in our lives, there are some things that we can do to help ourselves manage change. And those are the things that I want to outline for you now. You know, if it's possible, and I understand that sometimes we don't have control over all the changes that we have to manage, but if you can, try to control the amount of change that you're dealing with. You know, I always think that one of the reasons that people can't keep like New Year's resolutions is because they're trying to do too many things at one time. So if it's possible, can you spread the changes that you want over a period in time? You know, I'm going to do this change now, and when I finish that one, I'm going to work on another one. Think of them almost like goals. You know, if there are changes that you're trying to create, is it possible that somebody wants you to do something, you can say to them, hey, I'm kind of at my limit right now with change. Is this a change I have to do right now, or can I work on that at some other moment in time? And hopefully somebody will push back and say, oh, absolutely, you can do this later. Or they might say to you, hey, I understand things are tough right now, but you need to do it right now. Try to identify a bright side to the change, even if it's one little small thing. It might be the thing that keeps a smile on your face, even when the change is tough. It could be getting to work with somebody that you haven't had to work with in a long time and you're looking forward to it. It could be that you're going to learn something new that you've never been exposed to before. But look for that little bright side. Try to find a change model that works for you. I'm a big fan of Lewin's three-step model. It's called unfreeze, change, freeze. It's easy to remember for me. And I think that the steps are fairly broad, but it keeps me focused. You know, the unfreeze portion is when you realize that the change needs to happen. You might know that something's coming up, or you can recognize that you need to do something. The change part is obviously when the change is taking place. You know, there might be some steps that you're trying to do. And then the refreeze part is sort of settling into that new normal. It might be a habit now. You know, it was something I had to consciously, you know, put a note on my calendar to do it all the time. And now I don't have to do that anymore. I know exactly when it's going to get done and how it's going to get done. The fourth thing is to celebrate the wins, even the small wins. When you're thinking about a change effort, don't minimize the fact that change is hard. Even if it's a change that you want, the fact that you did it deserves celebration. And figure out what that celebration is going to be. You know, it could be anything from keeping a journal that you can look back on and say, oh my gosh, I forgot that I did that. Oh, that's really cool. Or it could be if it's something bigger and you want to earn a reward in terms of I'm saving for this, and at the end of this milestone, I get it. But find a way to celebrate your wins. And there's one last one that I want to talk about, and it's kind of the most important one to me when it comes to change. And that is to be willing to tweak or abandon the change completely. If you did all the homework, put all the plans in place, you start working the plan, and something happens, don't be afraid to go in and tweak your plan. Or if it makes sense, to put the whole plan on the side. Sometimes external factors are going to impact the changes that we want to make, and we can't just completely ignore them. We have to go back and revisit the change and say, does this change still make sense? And if it does, we can continue moving on it. Maybe the tweak, maybe the adjustment we need to make is to say, instead of this taking 6 months, it's going to take a year. Or maybe it's instead of this outcome, I want this outcome now. And again, maybe it's, you know what, this isn't the right thing to do right now. And if it's still the right thing to do, I can pick it up at a later point in time. I've seen a lot, especially on an organizational level, I've seen a lot of organizations make the mistake of, once we decide that we're going to make a change, letting their ego stand in the way of tweaking the change or adjusting the change or modifying the change when other things happen. I don't have to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. We're going to constantly be dealing with some sort of change. So some of those changes will be big and some will be small. Finding ways to manage change will be important. Identifying the change, putting a plan together, regularly monitoring it, and being prepared to adjust when necessary. If you're in a role right now within the organization where you can suggest to the company to start giving employees some sort of education regarding change, that would be awesome. I think organizations, if you have a change management model or you want to just give employees some education about change management, maybe in orientation or in onboarding, there's an opportunity to say, here's a change management model, and this is how you use it so that employees have something that they can refer to as they are processing change throughout their entire career. You know, put them in a position where they can be successful. And on that note, I think we'll wrap up the season. I want to thank you again for listening to these episodes on change management. And a huge thanks to this season's guest. I hope you found this conversation to be valuable. We've also included, don't forget, the show notes and the transcripts to make using these episodes as resources for you. If you do have any comments or suggestions on how to make the HR Bartender Show better, I would love to hear it. Your feedback is important to us as we start planning for the next season. Don't have a theme finalized yet, so if you want to make some suggestions, just drop me a note. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I also want to extend one final thanks to our friends at UKG, Ultimate Kronos Group. They have been a very supportive friend to HR Bartender, and I thoroughly enjoy working with them. I love their culture, and it shows in their product. If you haven't had a chance to check them out, I hope you will. Thanks, and cheers.
To be a powerfully productive business, you need powerfully happy people. Two leaders in workforce management and HR have joined forces to become UKG, Ultimate Kronos Group. UKG creates comprehensive HR solutions designed to make employees happier and build more meaningful connections within your workforce. They've even done that for themselves, being recognized as one of the top places to work. And UKG's 12,000 employees help thousands of businesses build better cultures every day. When you're ready to make your people happier, UKG is ready to work for you. UKG, our purpose is people.
Thanks for listening to the HR Bartender Show. To make sure you don't miss a single episode, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you go for the very best podcast productions. While you're there, we'd love it if you would rate the show and leave us a review. The HR Bartender Show is an ITM group presentation produced by HR Bartender and your host, Charlene Lauby. Remember, people, work responsibly.